the title of the message is, which valley are you in? There's three valleys that I'm going to talk about today. The very first one is the valley of death. We see in Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And so we see a valley of death. Ezekiel was carried by the Lord now shown a valley of bones. Actually says a valley that is full of bones, human bones. You know, there's nothing more startling. I've seen bones. I've seen a lot of bones. I found a bone while I was hunting this week, and it was a cow bone. It was way out in the middle of the woods somewhere, which is kind of out of place. But with bears and coyotes being what they are, figured that's how they got there. But there's bones out there. But, you know, there's nothing more startling than human bones. I remember just years ago, y'all might remember part of this story. Maybe I don't remember if I shared with you the rest of the details, but I was on my way. I went to Colorado that summer, and I was on my way back, and Stanley Fringer called, and he said, hey, Pastor, there's a car parked out here, but it's parked down here at the end of the driveway around here by the bus. He said, it's a silver. He thought it was one type and it was another. But anyway, no big deal either way. But it was there, just sitting there for days. And it was odd that it was parked on the other side of the bus, because the bus is at the end. They had to park in the grass, so it was kind of hidden. And I came down here, you know, and I said, well, I don't know. And I called the state police about it. Paul should have got the guy's name and number. The guy came out and he said, well, there's nothing we can do. He said, there's nothing we can do about it. He said, because nobody's filed a missing person or a stolen car report for that car and everything. I said, well, it's sitting here on private property. It's really not bothering nothing. I said, I'm going to go in there. I think it's unlocked. I'm going to look around. No, he said, don't look around. Don't look around. I said, okay, yeah, sure, buddy. See you later. He left, and I went over there and opened the door, and I dug around in there, got some paperwork out of it, found a cell phone out of it, got this paperwork, and I called the number. I saw where the guy had some work done. He was a military man. Got a hold of his sergeant. He was AWOL. I'll try to shorten the story. He was AWOL. And I said, okay, I was sitting on there, and I told him, well, this is where it is. He goes, good, I'll call his parents. And so in the meantime, I saw a cell phone with the battery out. I put the battery in. As soon as I did, I got a phone call, and it was a girl. And she said, Stephen. I said, no, it's not Stephen. It was his sister. She went to Tech, but the guy was from Georgia. Long story short, he went AWOL. Him and his girlfriend had some kind of problems, and he left out of there, and the car was sitting out here. About that time, here come one of the detectives from Botetourt County. He walked up. We looked around the car. We opened up the trunk. I never had done that. Looked around. He said, yeah, we don't know what's happening. They're going to bring a dog down. He said it never works and didn't. And anyway, long story shorter, the guy went down towards Natural Bridge and went out in the woods, and he took his own life. And, you know, and I ended up talking when they found out about it. Well, they didn't find out about it right away. And the reason I was bringing this story was, it was just kind of eerie. And it's been some months later, hunting season was going on. I was way out in the woods in the middle of nowhere, show you how things start. And I ran into another hunter, didn't know him. We just started talking. And, you know, I forgot how we got on that topic. Somehow we got around about that. So I started telling the story about this car being missing, and how the guy was AWOL, and how that he had taken his own life. They had found out about it. I said, somebody found his bones out. A hunter found his bones out in the woods. And the guy got real quiet when I was telling the story. Now here, what are the odds of this? Here I am, the pastor of the church where the car was found. I run into this guy randomly out in the middle of nowhere. We start talking about it. And when I got done, he didn't say a thing. He just stood there and he listened to me, and he said, well, I'll tell you something even stranger. He said, I'm the man that found his body. I said, man, you got to be kidding. He told me the story. He said, man, I saw something white up in the woods, and I thought maybe it was, you know, antlers of a deer or something. And I went walking up there, and I saw some bones laying around there. And he said, I backed up. He said, my foot hit something, and it was a skull. And he said, I saw that, and I saw a tennis shoe with the bones in the tennis shoe. He said, man, I just backed up. You can imagine what a shock that would be. I said, man, I can't imagine. I mean, I've seen a lot of bones, but I hadn't found that. Ezekiel sees a valley full of human bones. A whole valley. That's what God shows him. And God caused him to pass by, and it said, behold that, or look upon that. I remember when we were at back in a late summer there, we went to a camp meeting they had over at New Hope, and old Joe Arthur was preaching over there. Tyler, you all were there, remember that? Joe Arthur's kind of funny, and he said, remember, told a story about the first time a man took him up to the Grand Canyon to look into Grand Canyon. He looked down there in that Grand Canyon, he said, man, something big happened down there. You know, I think when Ezekiel saw this whole valley full of bones, human bones, he said, look, something big or something bad happened. Something bad happened down there, man. It was a catastrophe. But the picture is that most of the world, the Bible tells us that we are, and David knew it, he said, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That this world and we as humans are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're born and we're on our way to die. But spiritually speaking, the world is walking. It's a valley of death. A world, a valley full of, really get down to it, it's bones. Dead. It's death. That's what the world is. It's just a picture of death. We look on the scene today and we see the political scene, the economic scene is even worse now than when I preached it before. We look at unrest and uncertainty and violence and all the things that go on. And I was telling them that particular time I was aggravated about it. I remember, you go to turn the news on. I mean, there's nothing going to be good on there to start with, but half of what they show you is not news. I mean, the big deal they were showing at the time was, the news is going to tell you, guess what? Gas prices are higher than they were last year. How many of you needed the newsman to tell you that? Huh? I mean, you need somebody on the news? I know that the gas prices are higher. I buy gas. Well, I used to. I buy gas. What the news would be, tell me why. Why is the gas prices higher this year than it was last year? They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the reason. This is what our local news station deemed as news. Hey, gas prices are higher. Guess what? Your Thanksgiving turkey is higher too. And everything is higher. Is that shocking news to you? Wonder where they got that. So we look around on the world scene. We got wrecked families. We got wrecked marriages. We've got alcohol, drugs, pornography, homosexuality, disobedience, disrespect, gluttony. The world drunk on money, power, entertainment, pride, selfishness, hate, racism, prejudice, rape, murder. We got school shootings. We got church shootings. All those things are going on. Violence everywhere. It's death, man. It ain't nothing but death. And you know what? You know what happened? This is it. You know what happened when something dies? It dies. It looks just fine. I mean, it looks the same. But after a while, it just keeps getting worse. It starts corrupting. It starts breaking down. Biology, everything breaks down, right? Hey, the world, the social or spiritual climate or the social scene, it's been those bones that said they were dry a long time. They were dead a long time. Guess what? That's this world is not getting better. It's getting worse. It's waxing worse and worse and worse. Why? Because it's corrupting, breaking down farther and farther till there ain't nothing. See, it takes a little while to get to nothing but bones. Huh? And that's the way the world is today. It's getting down to bones. Dry, dead a long time. Dry bones. And when Ezekiel looked, he must have thought, just like the guy that Joe Arthur said looked over in the Grand Canyon. What happened down here? What happened? I mean, it was a catastrophic event. You don't have a whole valley full of dry bones. This wasn't a cemetery. It was catastrophic. It was a defeat of some kind. It was some kind of a disaster. And like I said, it's the picture of the world scene today. Let me tell you something. If you're living without Jesus Christ, it's a disaster. I'm going to tell you what. It's a catastrophe, and it will be. Huh? And you're going to get worse and worse and worse, and you're going to corrupt yourself, and then one day, I'm going to tell you something, one day, you know what? You're going to die. Huh? I got news for you. If the Lord don't come back, you're going to die. Don't you like it when somebody's got good news for you? Huh? The bearer of good, huh? But you know what? You ought to know that, right? We ought to know that. We look at that church scene. The church scene is not any different than the world scene. Not a bit different. Wrecked marriages, wrecked families, pornography, fornication, dope, alcohol, you name it, no respect, self-consumed, racism, all those things exist in the church. Same as the world. Nothing's any different. And the churches themselves, in a valley of their own, valley of traditionalism, legalism, sensationalism, professionalism, it's all so cut and dry. You know the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, that's the one that God said that church is lukewarm, right? And you know what's the problem with the lukewarm church? They don't think there's anything wrong. You know the old story about you put a frog in the water and you turn the heat up real slow, he'll stay in there until he dies, but if he jumps in the hot water, he'll try to get out. And so what happens is now, this is why, listen, church attendance with people, church attendance. Boy, I like, where's Whitney at, man? I shared that thing. I saw it while I was hunting, but it's so spotty down there doing anything. What a great little thing she stuck on Facebook. If you don't have it, I'll share it. Had a little, said, Thanksgiving Day parade, packed out. Huh? Sporting events, packed out. What was the other one? It was one other thing. Some other kind of football game. I don't know. It was three things packed out, and it said Sunday church. Three or four little people all spread around church. You know why it's like that? Because people, even Christians today, they think they don't really need the church. They don't have a need. They don't have a need. That's the problem. They do have a need, but they don't think they have a need. I can take God or leave it. Everything's going well. I can get down to church and worship Him when I want to because everything's going well. I can pray. The prayer lives are terrible because I don't really need to pray. Why? Because I don't have a need. I'm comfortable. Everything's all right. I was sharing with Brother Les down there fellowship, and I told you all about it probably before, but go over it again. I met this lady, Sherry and I, down at the Bryan Center nursing home. She worked there. And Sherry just have a habit of asking some of the workers, hey, is there anything we can pray with you about? And she asked this one lady, is there anything you can pray with about? No, not really. So we started talking to her. Hey, you know, where are you living? And then she starts telling us, well, my husband left me. I got to work two jobs because I can't support my family. My oldest son, he's 20 years old. He's on dope. He's strung out on drugs and everything. It's just been a real burden to me. And, she started, I said, ma'am, I looked at her, you know, Brian said in Sunday school, sometimes you got to be straightforward with people, right? I said, ma'am, and you don't have nothing to pray about? She goes, well, yeah, I guess I do. Yeah, I guess you do. You got something to pray about. But see, here's the thing. You get so blinded to the fact you got a need and you don't even know it. And you know what? You're just sitting there like a bunch of corpses. Huh? And you just don't, the church has gotten no knowledge of needing anything. That's the scariest place in the world to be. And that's why Jesus said, listen, that lukewarm church, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Why? Because I tell you what, you get cold enough, what you going to do? I'm going to get near a fire or build one. Huh? I'm going to get around where something's hot. And if I'm hot, I'm already there, man. I'm on fire. I'm on fire for God. But if I'm cold, I'm going to see. But if I don't think I'm cold or hot, how you feel? Man, everything's all right. Everything's all right, man. Just sit there like a lump on the lazy boy and nothing's going on. We become satisfied. Dead and defeated and nothing, you know, Vance Havner, man, I loved it. I read Vance Havner's books. I love his quotes. He's got a sense of humor, funny. I'd read his books, and I could picture him preaching in my mind, but I'd never heard him. But on Harold's, if you go on Christ Life Ministries, they got some preaching things on there. If you get down through there, you can get old Vance Havner. There's a couple messages he preached. They're old-timey when they did them on cassette, so it's a little, got that little background noise in here. But he preaches a message called Getting Used to the Dark. And he said he was in a place one time, a restaurant or something, and the lights went out. And he said this buddy gave him an idea. After they sat there a few minutes, you know, your eyes adjust to the darkness. You know, you can see a little better. You know, that's how you do it. You know, and sometimes see, when you get out, you hunters, I'll give you a little tip. This will help you something. If you're out there staring, you think you see a deer, and you can't quite, it's right there at dusk, you can't tell. Do like this. Cover your eyes up like that with your eyes open. And then lift your eye hand up like that. And you'll be able to see just a little bit better. And the guy said this quote right here. He said, isn't it funny how your eyes get used to the dark? Your eyes get used to the dark. And Vance Havner said, man, that's the title of a message right there. And that's the problem. This is what happens to us as the church. See, we get around so much ungodliness that we start getting used to it. And then we start accepting it. Like that's the big buzzword for today, accept everything, right? Acceptance. We get used to it because we see it so much. We've gotten used to the dark. And that's the problem. The church scene, dry bones. And so, Ezekiel, this question was asked, can these bones live? In other words, is there any hope for these bones? And Ezekiel said, well, Lord, you know. He said, thou knowest. And look what he said brings me to my next point, the valley of life. We look at verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then verse 7 and 8, so I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone in his bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. You know, Ezekiel knew this one thing. He's looking at a valley of dry bones, and it's God talking to him, and he said, can these bones live? And he just, you know, what else, what could he say? He said, Lord, you know. He said, with God, all things are possible, right? I mean, that's what the Bible tells us, amen? And so he said to them, to us, when we think about it, we look at that, and to the world out there looking, it may have looked like a hopeless situation. These were dead, I don't care it would look hopeless if they weren't dead dry bones, if they were just dead bones. These were dead dry bones, it would have looked hopeless. So where do we start when we look at the world scene today, when we see the death, the bone situation there, and then we look at the church scene today, and you know, because sometimes listening in church, you know what, we get dead and dry, like a bunch of dry, dead bones in church sometimes. Where are we going to start? Well, where would he start? Where's the hope? In verse number 4, prophesy upon the bones and say, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, there's hope in hearing, or there's hope in the word of the Lord. Listen, when they were looking for hope and things were dead and dry in the church, he didn't say, go out and build a playground. He didn't say, well, you got to have a coffee shop, and ain't nothing wrong with a coffee shop. He didn't say, go have a coffee shop. He didn't say, let's, have a praise band. That'll get everything going. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to go out, and I want you to preach the word of God to them dead, dry bones. And if that don't do, I'm going to tell you what, nothing else. What you can drink coffee till you're blue in the face. It ain't going to do what the Word of God will do, right? And so he told him to go prophesy or preach to these dead bones. And so what he did was he went over and he preached the Word of God. And then it said, let me see where it's written right there. He said the command to them was to hear the Word of God. It's in there somewhere. We'll find it in a minute. He told the command was for the dead dry bones to hear the Word of God. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Now, how many of you know that? Now, I'm going to tell you, Sherry isn't in here so I can tell this. You know, we went down there, we went camping, and I knew she was going to go up and go with her sisters, and they were going to go somewhere, and they were going to see something. That's my definition of it, you know. Because Les said, well, where's Sherry going? I said, well, I ain't real sure. Now, I know she told me. But see, men are different. See, all I got to know is you're going, you're coming back. I don't need to know all the details in between, you know. And so where did she go? I'm not real sure. What are they going to see? Some kind of show? I'm not sure. You know, they went up to Sight and Sound in Pennsylvania. Now I know because I talked to her on the phone yesterday. And then, you know, but what it was I paid attention enough just to know that she was leaving, going somewhere, she's coming back. She's going with her sister. That's all. That's good. I mean, that's good, right? And but you kind of forgot that for a little while there that she was going somewhere. See, so you married couples know there's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, hearing the noise or hearing the preaching. So not only do we need to hear the word of God, we need to listen to what we hear and listen to this. Are you listening? This is key. Are you listening? You got to obey the Word of God. See, it's not enough to know it. It's not enough to hear it and know it. You could even hear it and know it to where you could quote it. I mean, you know that it was Sight and Sound, and you know that it's Pennsylvania. You got to obey. You got to obey the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 said, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God knows your heart. is quick and powerful. It means this. It means that it's living, the living Word of God. That's the only way you're going to raise up dead people. It's got to be through the Word of God. It's the only thing that'll do it. 1 Peter 1:22 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. How are you going to be born again? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Ezekiel, he obeyed what God said, and he preached the Word. In verse 7 and 8, he said, so I prophesied and was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. We had sinews, flesh, and skin. Like sinews are like your ligaments. You need a definition. All the elements there of a living body. And it said this noise, there was this noise where everything came together. You can imagine all them dry bones just clacking up there together, all going together. It was a noise. Great picture right there. I'm going to tell you what, the world's making a lot of noise. We got more stuff going on than you can shake a stick at. We got 24-hour-a-day television, 24-hour-a-day places to go. There's places that stay open. You go down to Las Vegas, I don't think they even shut the place down. It's running 24-7. Man, they say they don't put windows in nothing. They don't want you to know what time it is. Probably most of them in there don't know, don't care. All they're doing in there, blowing their money, man. I mean, it's just, there's stuff going on. There's a noise going on all around the world out there. Always busy, man. We got this, that, and the church has got caught up in it too because we're running up and down with the world, trying to keep up with the world out there, running all over the place. And then we look at the church, got more activities you can shake a stick at. You go by churches a lot of times, man, in the middle of the day. I wonder what they got going on over there, man. Something going on, always something going on. We got concerts and ball games, Easter egg hunts, some kind of program, some kind of thing going on. We can make a lot of noise right there. But you know what? It's the church making the impact on the world when you look into Acts at the New Testament church, buddy, when 3,000 people in a single day got saved. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That was just one church. There was only one church. There was one church in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church. They had 3,000 souls in a day getting saved. They was making noise, and it had nothing to do with a ball game. It had nothing to do with a play or a program. Nothing wrong with those things. Nothing else going on. They went out there, and they was telling people about Jesus. They were living the life. That's what it all had to do with. And they were 3,000 a day. Is the church having that kind of impact today? Huh? Listen, man, the average church, this average Christian, anywhere, if they'd be honest, you ask them how many people they witnessed to and put anything amount, week, day, year, it'd be pathetic. Pathetic. Man, the Word of God. We got the words of life. They were making an impact in that day, and impacted the world around them. The report was that they said that the disciples, they were turning the world upside down. It was big news, man, by God, they had the Word of God. You know, one thing, when I was out in Colorado and I told you about that guy, Chase Rupp, I led him to the Lord. You know, the one thing that started really got it started? Because of those wood-burning things I do, I write Galatians 2:20 on the back. This guy was unchurched, didn't know anything about the Word of God. I quoted him Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, not I. But Christ lived within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Went brain dead for a minute. Senior moment. And here's the guy that's lost, right? Just quoted that Bible verse. He said, man. He said, that gave me chills. See, it wasn't nothing else I told him. It was the Word of God. He said, that gave me chills. That was the door swinging open, folks. Let me help you in your witnessing right here. When something like that happens, the door don't swing any wider open than that. And I said, man, I'm going to talk to him about it. And I started talking to him about it, and I gave him the Word of God. This is what happens, the Word of God. This is what we have to have. It was preaching, man. Ezekiel preached to a valley full of dry bones. And, man, it made an impact. And it's going to make an impact in the church. Listen, don't get me wrong. We got a play coming up. I don't have anything against that. I don't have anything against all the other things that you can have. But, buddy, we got to make some more noise than that. Besides that, But notice this, nowhere in verses 7 and 8 does it say that the body stood. It just said the flesh, the sinews, and the bones came together, and the skin came on it. But it doesn't say those bodies stood. Now, here's a great picture of the church. Okay? All the elements of life right there. And a lot in the church, see, they got that. They got the sinews and the flesh. They got all those things, but they're still not life. Still laying there. Still laying there. Those, at that time, they were still, all those bones, they came together. Now it's a bunch of bodies laying there. But they're still laying there. Nothing's happened yet, right? Boy, that picture's the church today. Deader than 4 o'clock as far as doing anything for God. Why? I told that boy Chase Young this. I didn't know if he'd get it. It was one of them things where you tell somebody something and there's a pause because you know they're thinking, and all of a sudden he just busted out laughing because he got it. But it was a story about this old Indian chief. He went to hear some preaching, and he listened to it, and this other fella asked him after it was over with, he said, "Well, what'd you think about it? What'd you think about the preaching?" He said, "Much thunder, much wind, no rain." And so I told that to Chase, and he was like, he started laughing. You know, he got it. I mean, that's what's going on. See, we can have a lot of noise there, but no rain. Huh? We can have a lot of, you know, it's nothing more disappointing, man. I remember years ago we had a big drought for I don't know how many weeks back in the summer. Y'all might remember this. It was dry, man. I'm used to dry as dust, man. You could walk in the woods, Larry, your boots have dust stacked up that high on. And man, one day it got to thundering and all that, and I'm looking black. I said, "Boy, this is great. We're going to get some rain." I went outside. Went on down the road, didn't get it. That was a disappointment, man. When it finally did rain, I went outside just to smell it. These bones are still laying down. Why? Because there's no breath in them. Wind or breath in the Bible always pictures the Holy Spirit of God. It pictures church membership today. Not the overcoming powerful people of God, but a lot of people that are in church today. And then we get to the last valley, and it's the valley of victory. And we see verse 9 and 10. It said, "Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army." Boy, what a difference the breath, the Spirit of God makes on God's people and on the world. I mean, man, listen, I mean, when God breathes and, boy, the Spirit came in them, guess what? It said they stood on their feet an exceeding great army. I mean, that's a difference right there, boy, than just a bunch of bodies laying around. I mean, nothing going on, you know, spiritually speaking, nothing going on in life. And when we examine ourselves, a lot of time we say, "Hey, maybe that's me. Maybe that's the way it is in my life. I don't have anything going on as far as God is concerned. You know what? I've got the bones. I've got the flesh. I've got the sinews. I can even hear the preaching, buddy. But if God doesn't breathe on us, there's nothing else left." And this is it. There's a lot of difference between sitting in church and God breathing life into you. And we try everything under the sun. We say, "Well, preacher, what are we going to do?" Sometimes, you know what they do? They get another preacher. Sometimes it's the preacher's fault. Well, he just ain't preaching enough right there. Maybe it's the listening aspect of it, or the obeying aspect of it. Sometimes, well, we gotta drum it up, man. We're gonna get us some different music program. And listen, I like music program. I wish that we had more of a music program than we got. I'm hoping soon to get the choir back together and all that. I like all that, but I'm gonna tell you what: without the Spirit of God, the choir's not gonna do anything. Without the Spirit of God, the special singers aren't going to do anything other than sing. And so we think, "Oh, well, maybe that's what we got to do. We got to do something." And people in this church have done it. You feel it. See, man, preacher, I just need to do something. You feel that. I think we need another Bible study. Half the people don't come to the one we got. And then they think they need another one on the outside of the one we got. We got one every Wednesday night. We got a Bible study. We need a Bible study. Well, I can't argue with that. You do, but you got to listen to the Bible. You know, if we need that, preacher, then that sometimes people think, well, I've got to do something. Listen, if God's moving you to do it, do it. But God's got to move you to do it. But sometimes we got it backwards. We think we're going to do something, and then all of a sudden that we're going to have the breath. And there's, you know, another ways to look at that. I guess you could look at that. We got to be obedient. But, man, it's just like there's this thing we try to do it from the human side, that we've got to do it. Listen, God's got to do it. Now, we still got the same word of God in preaching still the deal. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's going to give you life right there. There's other things that can happen after we have the life, right? And so, you know, a lot of what goes on in churches everywhere is flesh and not spirit. And it can be, and I'm not saying it's bad. It's not bad things. It's just not very effective things. And so we get, you know, we're wrapped up in that. And then we get like the Laodicean church. They couldn't see what was going on. They didn't know it. What we need is the Spirit. And verse 10 says, the breath came into them and they lived, and they stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. That's a powerful verse. That's us. That's a picture. That's what we're supposed to be. We here are supposed to be an exceeding great army. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Born of God overcomes the world. It doesn't say maybe, it doesn't say perhaps, but it says does overcome the world. Present tense too. Ezekiel believed and he saw the power of God. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I bet you he was a fired up preacher. I would have liked to have heard the next message he preached. I mean, that one was, he was kind of like, wow, look at these bones, something bad happened, man, preach these bones, all right, Lord, you said do it, and then he saw what happened. Boy, the next time God told him to preach, I bet you that guy was on fire, buddy. He said, man, if I can preach to a valley of dry, dead bones, which I can relate, if I can preach to a valley of dry, dead bones, and they can stand on their feet and be filled with the Spirit and an exceeding great army, man, and God said, let's go preach again. All right, man, I'm for it, man, just show me something, I'm going to get out there and preach. He was fired up, and people are going to wait and see what God's going to do. Huh? Just think what God could do. Man, I mean life. Woo! Man, I tell you what, I would have loved to have heard the next one that he had to preach. He believed it. He saw that. Faith, listen, faith in Jesus Christ. This is the key to it. We've tried so hard to make the church attractive to the world. You know how you make, you know, from a worldly standpoint, the only way that you can make the church attractive to the world is you have to have worldly things. That's not our mission. Our mission is to make Jesus Christ attractive to the world. And we don't have to really make him attractive to the world. He is attractive to the world. We just preach him as he is. See, that's it. And the people that got the thirst, see, like I always say, you know, you don't have to beg a thirsty man to drink water. Huh? If you're real thirsty, I'll say, oh, come on. Come on, you got to drink it. Get your head, let me pour that water. You don't have to do that. There's people out here, listen, you can't do it with the gospel. You can't. If a person doesn't have a desire, you can give them the truth. You'll see. Like I talked to Chase, I saw a little thirst right there. Not everybody's going to do that. You can't make them drink. The old saying, you can take a horse to water, but you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Huh? But you just give me that person that wants to know, right? And so what? We preach Christ. He is attractive. And that person that's thirsty is going to come to him. There's going to be not everybody's going to do it. Not everybody's going to do it because they're not going to want it. Now, you might have to preach to them to get them to see that they're dead and dry and they're just nothing but a bunch of bones. You got to get them to that point right there. And so we've tried and we failed and we've tried so long to operate in the flesh and that hasn't worked. Listen, we can get a big crowd in the flesh. Trust me. We can bring in somebody. We can bring in some music group, some celebrity, somebody, and advertise, and you can get a bunch of dry bones right here. And we can get a crowd, but you know what? It won't last, huh? I've told this years ago. I said we could do all kind of crazy stuff, have a disco ball with lights and smoke coming out of the stage, and I could pop up out of a thing behind the pulpit, you know, just rise up, man, huh? And everybody would think, man, this is cool. You go tell all your friends, and the next week we'd have a big crowd, and we'd have a big crowd for about 3 weeks. And after a while, everybody would be saying, here he comes. He's coming up from behind the pulpit again. Watch out, here comes the smoke, you know. I mean, that's how it is. See, you can do that. The bus ministry things years ago tried this. Years ago in the 70s, everybody went nuts about buses. Every church went out and bought school buses, and they painted them up and put their church name on them. Nothing wrong with them. We got a bus. But then they started, they make the bus captain. Will you be a bus captain? And then you got a lieutenant that was on there. That's the one that went around and knocked everybody in the head when they were acting up on the bus. And then they had a contest. Will you see if you can get more than James? You got to get more. So the bus captain started running like, okay, next Sunday's ice cream Sunday. Everybody that gets on our bus, we're going to take you for ice cream after church. Well, they get a big crowd. The other bus driver says, well, shoot, man, I got to. The kid that brings the most guests on the bus next week, I'm going to give him a bicycle. Man, before they got done, they had to give them a Rolls Royce to get anything out of them because then everything got to be old. That's what they tried. It worked for a while. They got big crowds on the bus and everything. But after a while, ice cream was old hat. Bicycle kid had 10 of them in the garage. He didn't need another bike. It just got to be old hat. We can do stuff. I told Les the other night, so I'm going to tell you what, on Sunday nights, I could give $100 bills away to everybody that's going to come through the door. And I'm tell you what, I'd have the same crowd I got on Sunday night before I gave the $100 bills away. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Have the same exact crowd. It wouldn't make no difference. Got to have that thirst, man. We've tried it. It hadn't worked. We preached Jesus Christ. We preached that word. That's what he said. And the world has to see. Listen, the world's got to see Christ in us to be attracted to it. And it said in the Bible, an exceeding great living army, not a valley of bones, not a defeated, a bunch of bones defeated, dragging along, gloom and doom, a bunch of complainers. But it said a exceeding great army, a victorious army, a joyful army, a powerful army. Listen, you know you can't live the Christian life. You've heard all the preaching on it. You can't do it. I'll tell you right now, don't even try. But Christ can live his life through you. That's where we fail. And it took me most of my Christian life to learn that I couldn't live it. I'm trying to do it, man. The preacher said, this is what you got to do. I'm going to make myself do it. And I could do it for a week. Huh? I'll get there next Sunday, preacher. Huh? It didn't last long. What I had to do, I had to surrender my life. Surrender my life and let Christ live through me, give me the power to do it. You cannot. The Christian life is an impossibility. And that's what and the whole Word of God is teaching you that. The crucified life is the only life. You got to crucify this old flesh. Just turn your life over to Him and let Him live through you. You can live it. And you keep trying to do it in your flesh, I'm going to tell you what's in front of you. Failure after failure after failure after failure. That's all that's going to be there in front of you is failure. You have to live that. Let Christ live in you. Why do we have to have an army? This would have been a good one to preach right before the message I think I preached last before I left, because we got an enemy. You got to have an army because we got an enemy. Let me ask you this in closing. Which valley are you in? Which valley are you in? You in the valley of death? Maybe you're in the valley of life. Got to snooze, the flesh, all those things, bones come together, but you hadn't got that breath. That's the valley of victory right there. God saw the potential. God saw the potential when he looked at that valley full of dry bones. He said, I'm going to breathe on those bones. Which valley are you living in? Paul, you come. We'll have an invitation. If God spoke to your heart.